climate change. We know it's the most profound ecological challenge humanity has faced, and we're searching for solutions. We've seen people, organizations, and movements dedicate themselves to the complicated challenge of slowing global warming, increasing energy efficiency, and reducing our impact on the world's ecosystem. We associate terms like carbon emissions, pollution, fracking, and greenhouse gases with climate change. What we don't often do, and what isn't widely understood, is that climate change and the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration industry are inextricably linked as both a cause and a solution. Welcome to the first episode of Era on Air. We're starting this podcast off with a big topic, climate change, and why the world needs to start including HVAC and R in that conversation. Era on Air is a monthly podcast exploring topics related to building services and design and a hidden industry in a constant state of innovation, the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration, or HVAC and R industry. This podcast is brought to you by the Australian Institute of Refrigeration, Air Conditioning, and Heating. Founded in 1920, ERA is the leading association for HVAC and R professionals, providing its members with technical resources, continuing education, and professional development opportunities. I'm your host, Mark Spencer, and as a podcaster living in Melbourne, the home of ERA's head office, I was in the right place at the right time to help bring the show to life. I'm a podcaster in the climate community, so it was only a matter of time before ERA and I crossed paths. And while I'm a layperson to the HVAC and R industry, I find its impacts on our lives, on the built environment, and on our climate fascinating. And I thank you for joining me in this first exploration of where the climate and the hidden industry collide. First, some climate change basics. Global warming is defined as an increase in the Earth's surface temperature caused by rising concentrations of greenhouse gases. The greenhouse effect, meanwhile, is a naturally occurring phenomenon that helps make life on our planet habitable. Without it, surface temperatures would be lowered by about 33 degrees Celsius. We need this phenomenon. But according to climate scientists, global warming is magnifying the greenhouse effect. It's increasing carbon in the atmosphere and raising average temperatures around the globe. It's estimated that average global temperatures have risen by as much as 0.8 degrees Celsius since 1880, when records first began. And while that may not sound like much, the Earth is a delicate system, and ripple effects of even small changes are profound. We've seen greater frequency of extreme weather events, like cyclones, blizzards, hurricanes, wildfires, extreme heat days, and droughts. It's led to the melting of polar ice caps and glaciers, the rising of ocean levels, and the disruption of ocean currents such as the Gulf Stream, among other major impacts. Using sensors located around the world and comparing it with historical data, climate scientists tell us the evidence for the impact of climate change is clear and compelling.
2014 will go down as the warmest year around the globe in recorded history.
2015 was the hottest year since climate records began.
Figures show this July was the single hottest month in recorded history.
Australia sweltered through its hottest spring on record.
Climate change is now affecting every country on every continent.
It's the rate that's of great concern.
And what do you put that rate down to?
Oh, it's human activity.
The 20 hottest years on record have all occurred in the past 22 years. And only 3 years, 2015, 16, and 17, have been hotter than 2018. 2018 was the hottest year on record for the planet's oceans, which are heating up more quickly than originally estimated. So this brings us to a question. What does global warming have to do with the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration, or HVAC and R, industry? At first, the connection may not seem obvious. But think about how and where we spend our time. Our homes, workplaces, sports facilities, hospitals, libraries, schools, on the bus or on the train, at the movies, seeing a concert, shopping at the mall. All these facilities and spaces have heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems in them, helping us stay comfortable, healthy, and productive. Similarly, refrigeration plays a big role. It keeps our food fresh, our drinks cold, and plays a vital role in the healthcare industry. Needless to say, but we're gonna say it anyway, we need HVAC and R. The problem, then, is that it uses energy. A lot of energy. Refrigeration and air conditioning are responsible for around a quarter of all the energy used in Australia. About 30% of an average building's energy use is dedicated to its HVAC system. And air conditioners are often the most energy-hungry appliance in the average Australian home. If you've looked at a city's skyline lately, you might have noticed a rise in eco-friendly builds. And when we refer to green or high-performance buildings, what we're actually talking about are buildings that, through clever design, have managed to limit the energy dedicated to HVAC and to lighting. In most buildings, though, whether they're new, old, commercial, or residential, you'll find air conditioning. In every air conditioner, you'll find refrigerants. And refrigerants are, most often, potent greenhouse gases.
So hot right now.
At the same time as the Earth is heating up, increased use of air conditioning is placing a greater load on power grids around the world. A report by the International Energy Agency predicts the global stock of air conditioners in buildings will rise from 1.6 billion to 5.6 billion by 2050. Just this increase in air conditioning units alone is sufficient to push global temperatures up by half a degree. There's a vicious circle at play. Our increased use of energy to drive air conditioners is heating up the planet, and our hotter climates, punctuated now by even hotter days and more punishing heat waves, is making the use of air conditioners increasingly necessary. 3 billion people live in regions of the world where air conditioning is needed more than 300 days of the year. So, what can we do? Montreal, Kigali, and the HFC phase down. The calendar closed on the fourth hottest year on record, and on January 1st, 2019, the Kigali Amendment came into effect. Yeah, it sounds like the title of a Robert Ludlum novel, but the Kigali Amendment is an international treaty designed to limit the impact of refrigeration and air conditioning on the world's climate. It's a follow-up to 1989's Montreal Protocol, which was implemented to stop the use of ozone-depleting chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs.
We are here in Rwanda with a group of philanthropists and other environmental experts to join the government of Rwanda and other partners to celebrate the coming into force of the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol.
The Kigali Amendment is important because it is one of the legal treaties that mitigate climate change. All the parties to the Montreal Protocol have negotiated how we can phase out the production and the consumption of global warming gases, the HFCs that are used in our everyday lives.
The Montreal Protocol Kigali Amendment can give us up to 0.5 degrees of avoided warming. With the initial schedule, we get 80% of that, but we still leave about 20% on the table. If we accelerate the implementation of the Kigali Amendment, we are doing something heroic for climate protection.
The Kigali Amendment was agreed to in October 2016 by the 197 parties to the Montreal Protocol. Kigali is all about committing signatories to phase down global production and consumption of hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs. These are the common and potent greenhouse gases found in most modern air conditioners. The use of HFCs is the fastest growing source of greenhouse gas emissions in the world. Developed countries will go first, but developing countries will also take on firm reduction commitments in the medium term. The amendment commits developed countries to reduce production and importation of HFCs by 85% by 2036, Australia began its phase down on January 1st, 2018. Implementation of the agreement is expected to prevent up to 80 billion tons of CO2 equivalent emissions by 2050. It will make a significant contribution to the Paris Agreement objective of limiting the global temperature rise to well below 2 degrees Celsius.
Air conditioner and fridge and refrigerated space has at its heart a refrigeration system, and inside the refrigeration system is a working fluid called a refrigerant. And that fluid goes around the system and sucks heat out in one area and rejects heat in another area. So there have been a range of fluids used as refrigerants over the years. You might remember HCFCs and ozone depleting refrigerants that were phased out some years ago, and they were replaced with chemicals called hydrofluorocarbons, HFCs in plain English, and they were very successful refrigerants, so they almost entirely replaced HCFCs over a 20-year period. But unfortunately, you know, there's now become an environmental issue associated with the widespread use of HFCs.
Project Drawdown. Although HVAC and R plays such a central role in global warming, both as a major cause and as a way to help reverse it, it has somehow, perhaps surprisingly, managed to consistently avoid the spotlight. That all changed in April 2017, when Project Drawdown published its comprehensive plan to reverse global warming. Led by sustainability champion Paul Hawken, it brought together more than 65 researchers and scientists from 22 countries. They compiled a shopping list of 100 solutions that could help reduce global emissions and sequester carbon to ultimately reverse global warming by 2050. The solutions weren't dreamed up by the project team. These are activities and initiatives that already exist and are being taken up by governments, industry, communities, and individuals. Project Drawdown's purpose was to identify them, then build a model to quantify how big a difference each solution can make. They then ranked them from 1 to 100. The top 10 make for an interesting read. At number 8, you'll find solar farms. 3 is reducing food waste. 2 is onshore wind turbines. Then there are also social changes that would have a massive environmental impact. Educating girls and family planning come in at 6 and 7, respectively. But can you guess what number 1 is? Hawken says the team itself didn't know what the top solution would be when they entered all the data and waited for the model to crunch the numbers. Eventually, it came up with something completely unexpected. Refrigerant management. Drawdown found that this one thing would avoid emissions equivalent to 89.7 gigatons of CO2 at a cost of $902.8 billion under a plausible scenario, pursued over a 30-year period until 2050. That makes up about 8.5% of the total global emissions reductions of all the 100 listed solutions. That means HVAC and R could be the biggest solution to global warming, despite remaining invisible to large parts of the population. The model looked at the effects of fewer leaks and better refrigerant disposal. It also looked at the move to gases with lower global warming potential through the HFC phase down. It did not, however, include the planned phase out of HFCs called for by the Kigali Amendment, but if it were included, we would see a reduction of emissions equivalent to 25 to 78 gigatons of CO2. That's almost twice the current estimated impact. Project Drawdown underlines the fact that HVAC and R has a massive role to play in reducing and potentially reversing global warming. So what are we doing about it? The Global Cooling Prize. Apart from international initiatives, such as the Kigali Agreement, many countries have their own internal rules and regulations around the efficiency of HVAC and R appliances. In Australia, it's known as Minimum Energy Performance Standards. These specify the minimum level of energy performance that appliances, lighting, and electrical equipment, including air conditioners and fridges, must meet or exceed before they can be offered for sale or used for commercial purposes. Manufacturers know that they need to meet these standards in Australia and in other countries in order to put their products to market. They're also aware of the competitive advantage that efficiency offers, and so we frequently see them striving to improve their products. We need a revolution, not an evolution, however. And some people say that they're not working fast enough. One of those voices belongs to Sir Richard Branson. The renowned entrepreneur has lashed out at the global air conditioning industry for its lack of innovation. He says manufacturers are complacent in selling as many air conditioners as they can, as cheaply as they can, and they spend more on advertising their products than they do on their research and development. Their control of the market also makes it hard for eco-conscious entrepreneurs and innovators to find investors or reach potential buyers. Branson recognizes air conditioning's expected growth in the domestic space as well. Its current global market is valued at $100 billion USD, and that's expected to grow 4 times in size by 2050. This huge uptick in air conditioning use is likely to spur huge demands for energy, and with it, a knock-on effect for climate change. That's why Branson has thrown his support behind the Global Cooling Prize, a competition looking to disrupt the status quo.
Hi, everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me to the launch of the Global Cooling Prize. I'm sure many of us experienced a very, very hot summer this year. Well, the planet is certainly getting hotter, and we've been saying this for 20 years now. And in less than 20 years, millions more people in India, China, Indonesia, Brazil, Africa, and other places will have a need to buy air conditioning units. So if we carry on using the same outdated air conditioning technology, the temperature of the planet will rise by 0.5 degrees for air conditioning use alone. Let the Global Cooling Prize begin.
The Global Cooling Prize was developed by the Rocky Mountain Institute, a Colorado-based sustainability research and consulting organization with a special focus on profitable innovations for energy and resource efficiency. It aims to combat the critical climate threat that comes from growing residential air conditioning demand. The prize is open to entrants from around the world, and the task is to design a room air conditioner for a typical tropical or subtropical home that consumes 5 times less grid-supplied electricity than a typical unit in operation today. Launched in November 2018, the Global Cooling Prize has put out an incentive of $2 million for inventors and innovators who think they have the solution, plus an additional $1 million to the ultimate winner of the competition to support the commercialization and scaling of their technology. It's just one of the ways that people around the world are considering HVAC and R innovations as a potential solution to climate change. And if you're interested in learning more about the Global Cooling Prize, make sure to check out the show notes. In conclusion, despite its sizable impact, HVAC and R is, by its nature, a very hidden industry. It's hard to make an air conditioning unit or a refrigerator seem particularly glamorous, especially since they're so ubiquitous and part of the day-to-day comforts of the modernized world. It's important, however, to know that things are happening behind the refrigerator doors and that people in the industry are working to create a sustainable future. We hope you've learned something about the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration industries, their impact on energy use, and, by extension, their role in climate change and global emissions. We hope you've also enjoyed hearing about some of the initiatives and opportunities that the industry is undertaking to encourage energy-efficient solutions. If you like what you've heard, please hit the subscribe button and share a link to this to a friend. And for more on ERA, visit www.era.org.au. In our next Pillar episode, we're going back to basics with HVAC and R 101. We think you'll be surprised to find out how all-encompassing HVAC and R is in your daily life. If you're interested in the intersection between climate change and the HVAC and R industry, you may also wish to hear more in-depth discussion on topics like the HFC phase down and the Global Cooling Prize. Luckily, we've got episodes covering those topics, so please give them a listen. I'm your host, Mark Spencer. Thank you for listening to ERA on Air.